Why, yes, it is Brian Haney's favorite performer, Miley Cyrus. And Brian is our favorite performer here on a Thursday to talk KU athletics. The voice of Jayhawks, Brian Haney, joining us, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. Brian, I would ask you how you doing, but I just talking with you there before we came onto the air. I know you got to be bummed out a little bit because between the last time you and I talked on this show, some things have developed. Coach Miles with COVID-19, of course, you hosting the Hawk Talk with him, and now you're not going to be able to call the game this weekend. I know you got to be bummed out by that, but how are you taking everything and how are you holding up, man?
Well, thanks for asking. First and foremost, just excited that Coach Miles has had mild symptoms and looks like he's in good health and is real hopeful and optimistic about returning on Saturday to the sidelines. The way the dates worked out on his testing, his 10-day window to shed the disease and all that, you know, would give him the chance to come back so long as he's still testing negative. So, yeah, we're most concerned with his health. My health has been great, thankfully, and certainly blessed about that. I've had two negative tests since, but you know, our Hawk Talk setup is such that we've got a plexiglass divider in between the two of us, and yet because you're indoors and it's open air above the plexiglass, the fact that I was within the 6 feet and in that setting for more than 10 minutes, 60 to be exact, it puts me in a direct exposure category, which, you know, no negligence or fault of my own. That's how, you know, we've agreed to do the show. But problem is, you know, the CDC sees it as such that I need to quarantine for 14 days. So yeah, that's a bummer. But we've got a really deep bench on our network staff, and Jimmy Chavez is going to do a great job calling the game. He's our women's basketball play-by-play announcer, and he'll treat this like the Super Bowl and do a fantastic job. So it's tough to miss a game for the first time in my career anywhere ever. Mm-hmm. That wasn't a direct head-to-head conflict. I mean, I've done games with a broken foot that just happened walking into the stadium. I've done games with the flu when I didn't know I had it, but you grind through, you know. As a play-by-play guy, you know, this way, you pride yourself on never missing a game.
Yeah.
So this is kind of tough, but it's, you know, taken out of your hands by something that's much bigger than all of us in this global pandemic, and we got to be responsible and not be amongst people if there's any chance we could be possibly shedding the disease. And that's a lesson that we had learned the hard way here, but certainly am thankful that Coach made it through okay, and real hopeful he'll be able to play and rather coach, I should say, on Saturday.
Well, you're handling that better than I would, I think. I don't expect you to say anything specifically, but what you're just telling me there, my first thought as I looked over at Dusty, him and I were shaking our heads, what's the point of plexiglass? But anyway, we'll move on. And I'm bummed for you because I know you do a great job, and we're gonna miss you on the call. But you know, it is an opportunity for Jimmy to go do something. And I guarantee you, I've had a chance to fill in on a few K-State broadcasts, and I kind of approach it the same way. You know, I want to do the best I possibly can, and know that have big shoes to fill when somebody's going to be gone. And I'm sure Jimmy's approaching it the same way. It'll just be a little bit different for you to watch this game. You'll be like everybody else. You'll just be watching on TV or something, right?
Yeah, you know, I'm definitely going to listen to those guys.
Sure.
And have a TV on as well. But yeah, it's strange to all of a sudden have an open Saturday. We don't typically get those unless it's bye week. But, yeah, it'll be weird. But at the same time, you know, happy for our guys. And like I said, we've got a deep bench, just as they do at K-State with Wade Gershner in the mix. So next man up mentality. And I think if you're a good teammate, much like the quarterback who gets injured, he goes to the sideline, picks up a clipboard, starts signaling in some plays. That's what I've been doing throughout this week, trying to get those guys ready. And that's what I'll do on Saturday. And trying to get them whatever they need when they need it. So we just have different roles for a week, and hopefully that's it. You know, but the scary thing about this situation is, like, I didn't have it in this case, but who's to say I won't in 2 weeks?
Right.
You know, it's one of those sneaky villains that you know, can jump up and get you. And so we're just trying to do everything we can to mask up and be responsible with where we're at, and hopefully that'll lead to good health the rest of the way. But we are the first Big 12 crew to have this affect us. It's weird that it happened in the line of duty, you know, getting
right.
exposed while doing my job. But that, unfortunately, is the situation. So we'll move on from it. But thanks for bringing it up. Thanks for your concern. And like I said, above all else, just really excited that Coach Miles did not have more
right.
Significant and severe symptoms.
Yeah, and if you had to choose between the two, having it and not having it, and that means you have to miss a game, I think most people would say, you know what, I'll miss a game if that means that I don't have COVID-19. So let's look at it in a positive way, man. Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by, see Matt and Becky, 118 North Mill and Beloit, or call them at 738-5701. All right, so let's talk about the preparation for this game. Obviously, there are those distractions that Coach Miles has had to deal with, clearly, and the coaching staff. Now, the good news, if you want to call it good news, was that there was no game last week, so that happened where you had a bye. But how has this impacted KU and how they're preparing for this game at West Virginia? Yes, Coach Miles, it looks like will be there, but what have they had to go through with the shuffling since that diagnosis or Coach Miles for getting the team ready for the West Virginia game coming up Saturday?
You know, I don't want to downplay it, but with all the Zoom technology that these guys were relying upon ever since March the 12th for so many months with their meetings and daily interactions, not a ton has changed. I mean, they miss him on the field, certainly for practice. He has an energy about him that is far younger than his age and just an infectious personality that the kids gravitate toward. And so they miss that on the practice field. But he's still leading meetings with his coaches and still able to address the team via Zoom in some of their bigger huddle-ups. He's doing all this from home. And so if indeed we lucked out and the 10-day window gets him back just in the nick of time to where he didn't miss a game because it was a bye week first off, and then it came at a midweek testing that gets it back on the following weekend. Honestly, this was about as optimal as it could go. I mean, think about Alabama and Nick Saban now and all that. So it's been an adjustment, but in terms of a ton of shuffling, I mean, the position coaches have always led their respective positional groups at practice, and you miss that veteran voice and hand at the wheel. But if he's back on the sidelines on Saturday, that's all that really matters. And in the meantime, everybody will have stepped up their efforts a little bit to make up for his voice not being at practice. But they didn't go ahead and designate a head coach alternate. I don't want to say in waiting because that implies he's retiring or something. But they didn't do that. They could if his test today were to go poorly or if his symptoms were to worsen or something like that. But I think all along they felt like he was going to be back, and naming anybody might have been counterproductive just in the attention it would take away from the preparation and any hard feelings it might have caused. Because all the coordinators were asked about that on Monday, and like, nope, nobody's been told they're the next coach up or anything. So I think Kansas has had an optimistic outlook throughout this process with Les, and it remains the case as we sit 48 hours out.
What about the health of some of the players? I know Puka's been nicked up throughout the season. Of course, you and I talk about this every week, the quarterback situation. McVitie's been banged up, and then Daniels out, had to leave the game early last time KU played. Can you update us on that?
Yeah, it's an unfortunate situation at quarterback because this will be our third different starting quarterback, and this is our fourth game. Mm-hmm. And it's not because guys have played poorly and not grabbed the job. It's injured. And Thomas McVitie, I thought, looked pretty good versus Coastal Carolina, picking up first downs with his feet, making some tough throws. He then goes out with a shoulder injury that he's still trying to heal from a month later. I saw him and talked to him late last week, and he was really optimistic about being available for this week. But being available doesn't mean you're starting necessarily, and Brent Dierman went ahead and left no doubt on Monday saying Miles Kendrick is going to be the starter. He's our healthiest quarterback. He's been getting the bulk of the reps. We're going to go with him. And so at least you have that clarity heading in, but that also means that they're not expected to have Jalen Daniels available this week. He would be the guy that in your remaining seven games you'd want to invest the most snaps and game time to build toward the future. But as Coach Miles indicated on that last talk he did prior to his COVID test, that they were definitely expecting him to be out this week. And he did not speculate beyond this week, but when you rule a guy out 10 days in advance, because keep in mind we had a bye week after that Hawk Talk show, that says that this is not, a day-to-day thing at all, and it's more week to week. And so hopefully, these guys back in the mix for K-State. I do not know that they've kept it close to the vest there, but the fact that McVitie's taken a while to heal up and Daniels is definitely not where they'd hoped he would be means it's Kendrick, and then, gosh, maybe Miles Fallon, should Kendrick go out? Or we could learn on Saturday morning that McVitie is suited up and they'd rather not use him. But if they had to in an emergency situation, maybe he is available. But it's definitely a triage unit right now, which you don't expect to have 3 games in, but that's kind of what it's come to. And, you know, I don't want to point blame or anything like that because some of these injuries, you know, are unavoidable, but the quarterbacks have been under a lot of duress this year because the offensive line hasn't clicked as quickly as we would have hoped. Obviously, you lose Akeem Adeniji to the draft, Cincinnati Bengals, and you're trying to replace some big shoes there, moving Malik Clark from left guard to left tackle, sliding some other guys around, or Bostic trying to step up into a role, and it's not quite gelled. And constantly, we've seen quarterbacks having a second and a half before they're throwing off a back foot or scrambling for their lives, and hopefully that gets better as the season goes. Part of that is Oklahoma State's defensive front is one of the best we'll face all year. But the other part of it is we just have a young and relatively green offensive line in terms of playing together that needs to do a little bit better job of keeping the quarterback upright. Because think about it. Everybody's talking about, well, where's Andrew Partsman's numbers at? You know, what about Moore for Puka, blah, blah, blah. We've got some great skill position talent, but unless you're giving the quarterback time for the receivers to run their routes and get separation and get open, you're not going to get the ball to Andrew Partsman deep downfield. And unless, you know, these running backs have better lanes to run through and that kind of thing, you're not going to have as many explosive plays. And so that's not to put it all on the line at all, but I think if you were to ask me, Brian, you know, what's one area of the team that if they just, you know, improve their play by two notches, you know, on the belt, it would make a world of difference and a trickle-down effect throughout the rest of the roster, it would be in the trenches for sure, and specifically the O-line.
Yeah, even the greatest quarterbacks of all time, we've seen when they have pressure, they can't get it to their playmakers. So it's more important to protect. We saw that with the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes in the last game against the Raiders. So it's an interesting quirk in the schedule because this is the only Big 12 game this weekend. KU West Virginia, Baylor and Oklahoma State were supposed to play, and they're going to play in December because Baylor was some positive tests. So West Virginia hosting this game, the Mountaineers, they're off to a 2-1 start, 1-1 in conference play, hung with Oklahoma State in week two, and then a couple weeks ago they knocked out Baylor in double overtime. Of course, you've seen Baylor in person. So what are your impressions and thoughts about West Virginia as both KU and West Virginia had a bye last week preparing for this game?
I think Neil Brown's doing a really good job, and you know, he was a name that maybe not a ton of folks thought, oh wow, they got him when he was hired, but young guy, you know, does it the right way. He's a guy that I got to know in Lubbock when he was the offensive coordinator for Tommy Tuberville, and you know, then went off to Kentucky. He's been a bunch of places, and he's really been widely respected everywhere he's been for his innovative play calling mind, but also he's just a great leader, and I think what he's done with this team is you know, in a short amount of time, he's made the roster his own. His quarterback now is a kid I used to do the high school games for in Lubbock, Texas, by the name of Jarrett Dagey. Seth Dagey, his older brother, played for Tech.
That's right.
And the little brother went to Bowling Green following a Texas Tech assistant coach to Bowling Green and set all kinds of freshman records there. And then it's just funny how, I don't want to use the word incestual, but like you know, how much of one big family football circles are.
Yeah.
It's in terms of, you know, the kid from Lubbock, or just outside of it, Wolforth, plays for a Tech assistant at Bowling Green, then a former Tech coordinator pilfers him away to West Virginia, and that's how he winds up there. But now he's in the top 25 in just about every passing category you could have, from yardage per game to completion percentage and all of that, top 10 in a couple of cases. And so they've got a good balance with Dagey and Letty Brown's a great running back that I think has had a really strong start to the season. And so there's a lot to like here. And I think Neil Brown, you know, if you look at those coaching hires from a couple of years ago, and obviously Coach Kleiman's doing a great job, and Les Miles is having tremendous success recruiting and is having a much bigger undertaking, let's call it like it is, you know, to rebuild this thing. But Brown was probably the least talked about guy. And yet I think you have to tip your cap and say he's really, you know, starting to build something better than what many expected when Holgorsen left and they took a lesser-known guy. He was well-known amongst coaching circles and people in the know. He just didn't necessarily have the resume. And yet sometimes going with the young guy that's been a lot of places and soaked up a lot of knowledge proves to be a good thing. And I think that's what West Virginia's finding about Neil Brown.
Let's shift gears real quick. Basketball team, you know, the schedule's always changing. Of course, high expectations as always at the University of Kansas. And they've decided yesterday, if I remember this correctly, I read it correctly, that the winter sports athletes are, this is a free year of eligibility, much like it is for the football players as well. What does that mean? I mean, it means the same, I guess, for any university, but what does it mean for a program like Kansas for that ruling to come down to where, hey, you know, basically this is a free year?
You know, I think it probably affects some of the young guys more than the old guys, in the sense that if a Muscadden or Jossel would have been redshirted, maybe you give him some game reps anyway. The old guys at a place like Kansas, Bill Self will tell you, if you're truly the caliber of player we recruited you to be, we're not thinking about a four-year clock with you. Like, they never put a redshirt on Udoka after multiple, two to be exact, seasons where they could have filed for one, and he would have been this past year like a redshirt junior as opposed to a senior. Because as much as, you know, we as fans would love to keep Udoka for 5 years and all that,
sure,
like, your expectation is to grow and then to go and move on. And so what I'm getting at is, like, it's great that these guys could have an additional year, but a guy like Marcus Garrett, even though we'd love to have him for a fifth year, and some might say, man, maybe he should come back for a fifth year, he, in his mind, is thinking, okay, if I'm a second-round draft pick, I'm still going to go.
Right.
So this is my last year. And most Kansas players, even like in the sophomore class, of the Jalen Wilson or a Tristan Inaruna, you don't think of them as big-time NBA prospects right now. But in their own minds, they're not thinking, okay, well, great, now I've got a fifth year. So at a different school, though, I think it would pay much more dividends for guys that are true program players that, you know, down the road, 4 or 5 years from now, are now going to be 23 and had an extra season of eligibility, an extra year of building up their game. I don't know that it affects Kansas as much, just because the guys we're going to continue to recruit that are on this roster right now are the type of guys that don't expect more than a two-year window. So happy for them that they have that option. It'll just be interesting to see how many actually take them up on it.
Yeah, and it's also going to be interesting in regards to Devon Dotson and Udoka Azubuike in regards to the NBA draft is still now about a month away. I believe it's November the 18th. So those guys have had all kinds of unknowns. I saw a feature on the top five expected draft picks, and, you know, they've kind of been in limbo because obviously the tournament was canceled, and now all of a sudden the draft got moved back and the NBA season just finished up here recently. I'd imagine that's a tough thing to go through that many months of unknown going from college ball, knowing you're going to go pro, and now you got to wait all the way to November 18th.
Yeah, no doubt. And you know, those kids have been waiting for this their entire lives, right, in some cases. And I think it's going to be interesting to see which one goes first and what kind of situation they get drafted into. As we've seen with Frank Mason versus Devontae Graham, sometimes it all comes down to the situation you land in. And Sacramento was not a great situation in terms of playing time for Frank. And Devontae could not have gone to a better situation. Not only is it his hometown team, but it's a club that had a spot and a need for a player of his talent, and he's just blossomed so much. But for Devon, you know, he's kind of one of those guys that I think has a lot of growth potential with his game. If he becomes a more consistent shooter, if he proves that his speed wasn't just elite level for the college game but still stands out against guys that are every bit as fast in the NBA, I don't think everybody is every bit as fast, let's be clear. But it will be harder on the blow-bys for him, obviously, and in his next 82-game schedule as opposed to what he's been going up against in the Big 12. If he truly still has that cut-above speed and that projects at the next level, then I think, you know, it's just a matter of getting a little bit more experience, confidence in his shot, finding other ways to score instead of just trying to finish at the rim, because the rim protectors at the next level, I mean, they're all – in the starting lineup, stand 6'10 and taller, and he's going to be up against it there. Him as an early second or late first type guy, but if we saw anything from him in his two seasons at Kansas, he's very mentally tough. He's very self-confident. He's a guy that improved a ton over the course of his time here. And so because he's so young, I think even if he doesn't make a big splash initially, I think he's going to be one of those guys that just gets better and better. And I don't know that he's ever a superstar at the NBA level, just based on size and whatever. But I do think he's a very productive pro that will continue to gain more and more opportunities as he grows into himself and into his game a little bit. But he's going to have to be more consistent with the shot, obviously, because if you get 80% of your points on below by driving layups, those are going to be a lot tougher next year. Udoka, on the other hand, it's kind of like what I said with the situation. He's somewhat limited offensively outside of 8 feet or so. But if a team needs a really athletic, hardworking, run the floor, block shots, protect the rim, get rebounds type guy, then yeah. I don't know how much development will ever occur with his range on his jump shot. Have you ever seen Udoka take a 15-footer that wasn't a free throw? Like catching and rhythm and shooting? It's not really in the bag of tricks. And that's not, talking negative or anything. It's just not his skill set. And we're in an era where, back to the basket, old-fashioned NBA centers are just that. They're old-fashioned, and it's not part of the game. But I think there's still absolutely money to be made and opportunity to be gained for him because he's so agile. He moves his feet so well for a big guy. He showed scouts in the last year how much poundage he shed, how much he was willing to be dedicated to put himself in the best shape of his life and therefore turn in the best season of his life. And so I think he could be, a fringe into the first round type guy as well. So I'm excited for him. And again, I just hope they both go to situations where they're not buried at the end of a bench and get a chance to, over their first 3 or 4 years in a rookie contract, show that they're going to be productive NBA players that have, double-digit years in the league.
Well, you look what Devonte Graham did this year. To me, he should have been the comeback player of the year, or most, not a comeback, but the most improved player in the NBA. I don't think it was even that close, and he somehow didn't get it. But anyway, I mean, you see how much he grew as a player in the NBA, and I know he's a little bit more experienced going in the NBA, but I think if a lot of people had to choose between which guy was going to have a better NBA career, Frank Mason and Devonte Graham, I think some people would have leaned towards Frank Mason, and Devonte, of course, has been fantastic. So there is certainly time to develop at the NBA level and become a really solid player or even an all-star, and I think that's where Devonte Graham is headed. So never underestimate the heart, no matter how big or small a guy is, and you know that from covering Frank Mason and other guys that have been tremendous in sports. Some of these little guys, like we were just talking the other day, Barry Sanders, Emmitt Smith, too small, Jerry Rice, too slow, Steve Largent, too slow. Yeah, those guys turned out okay. So just it's what's inside and between your ears sometimes. I know it takes athletic ability, don't get me wrong, but there's that intestinal fortitude, and I think based on what you've told me, Devon Dotson has that.
He really does. I mean, his work ethic, and obviously he's very self-confident, but not in a, rub you the wrong way kind of braggadocious way. He's a guy that he might take some lumps early when everybody in the league is, much bigger, faster, and stronger than what he just went up against. But he's not the type of guy that won't get back up off the mat and come out swinging again. I see him as a bulldog, and so I really think that while folks may pass on him the first round and he may be a late first, early second guy now, he'll be one of those players you look back on and say he could have gone 15 spots higher. Look at how over the course of time he really played his way into a much more favorable slot.
All right, time for off-the-wall question. I didn't know what I wanted to ask you today. I kind of flew by the seat of my pants, and I came up with this. Today is National Grouch Day. National Grouch Day is today. And you certainly could have a reason to be a grouch today based on what we talked about, but you're not. You're a very optimistic and positive person, and we love that about you. But I'm sure all of us have our days where we're a little bit grouchy, maybe a little bit irritable. Can you think of one particular situation or one particular day where Brian Haney just was a grouch for a little while? He was just a little grouchy, a little grumpy, grumpy,
sure.
Get away from me today. Yeah. Don't mess with me.
I don't know if there's a specific day recently, but one thing that makes me go from being the most gregarious, positive, fun-loving, outgoing guy is when I get behind the wheel. Not that I'm an angry driver in general, but if somebody cuts me off, or if somebody is just oblivious and they're like driving in the left lane 10 miles under the hour, mm-hmm. under the speed limit, and they have no self-awareness. Or if you let somebody in and they don't wave at you, I'm a Midwest guy. It's a common courtesy. You wave back, right?
Right.
Like, the thing that'll flip the switch on me and make me a grouch is maybe just the teeniest bit of, I don't want to say road rage. It sounds too aggressive.
Sure.
But I can get road angry if folks aren't abiding by what is common courtesy and whatever. So that's probably what can make me grumpy. And I've been on dates with girls before, and I've had like that instinct to bristle behind the wheel, and I have to like check myself before I literally wreck myself.
Uh-huh.
When that's the case. So, but yeah, I don't know about a singular day. We always have bad days,
sure.
Sprinkled in throughout. And the key is, for me, always thinking big picture in the grand scheme of things. Does the fact that the connection just cut out halfway through the first quarter in a broadcast matter when people halfway across the world are wondering where their next meal is going to come from? It's all about perspective and taking it in stride and knowing that your worst circumstance on your worst day would be the best day for somebody else. And so that tends to help me not get too much of a head down, Debbie Downer situation.
Yeah, I like how you answered that. By the way, have you seen the movie Unhinged?
I haven't.
Okay.
Who's in it?
Well, it's Russell Crowe, who put on a lot of weight for the role, and it's all about... it's all about people having a bad day and somebody cutting in front of somebody else, in essence, or, and not being very nice to one another. And that leads to a horrible, horrible, horrible day. And I won't give up any more of the movie. But Russell Crowe's the bad guy in this movie. And it's really about road rage. It really is. It's about, you think about giving somebody the bird, or you think about honking your horn or yelling at somebody. You watch that movie, you may think a little bit more about not doing that in the future. So I encourage you to go check it out. Not that Brian Haney was going to give the bird to anybody. I'm just saying some people do think that or actually do that. And you watch this movie, you might go, I don't want to go that route. So I encourage you to watch it. It's a short movie. It's like an hour 25. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's funny how, random acts of kindness or random acts of aggression can have a ripple effect.
Yes.
Kind of like the butterfly effect, so to speak. It just sets things in motion in a process that's far beyond the initial gesture or act of frustration in and of itself. So, yeah, that's why, Harvey Pinnick used to say, he's a famous golf instructor. He worked with Ben Crenshaw and a bunch of guys. For every one bad swing where your mechanics are off and you're telling your muscle memory something bad, you need three good swings. So hopefully if we ever have a flare-up of rage or whatever, overcorrect, as Harvey Pinnick would say, with three good vibes, and maybe you prevent what you're insinuating happens in Unhinged.
Yes.
Check it out.
Yes, it's an appropriate title, by the way. All right. Hey, we'll be thinking about you, and I'm sorry that you can't do the game this weekend, but I guess here's another glimmer of good hope is that you miss this game, but then you're back for the Sunflower Showdown in Manhattan October 24th, right?
Can't wait.
That'd
I may
awesome.
Just go there right now.
Yeah, don't violate quarantine protocol and get in trouble now. Don't do that. Don't
That's
do that.
Right. That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Stay healthy, man.
See you, buddy.
All
Take
right.
care.
See ya. Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you, as always, every week by Anderson Insurance Agency, Daily Farm, Home, Auto, Life, and Crop Insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Millen Boulevard, or call them at 738-5701.